2 weeks ago, when we studied together about prayer, one of the things in the model prayer that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 6 is that he asks that we forgive, that we be forgiven of our sins as we forgive others. And he has that as part of the prayer that we should pray to the Father. And then after the prayer section is over, he gives a couple of verses that give a little bit more information about that idea. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We're going to look at something that may challenge the way we have thought about forgiveness in the past. Now, sometimes we have assumed that if I just live a good life as best I can as a Christian, and I sin, and if I will ask God to forgive me, He'll forgive me. And we put as the condition on forgiveness, the only condition that we place on that, the only condition that we talk about there being is, well, I've got to confess my sins to God and repent of them and pray to Him, and He will forgive me if I'll do those things. But Jesus here in this passage indicates that there is another condition that we need to consider. And that being that if we are unwilling to forgive others, God will not forgive us. In the model prayer, Jesus said there, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us." Those debtors that we have. How do we forgive other people? We need to seriously think about the way we treat someone who has sinned against us. What do we expect out of them before we'll forgive them? Would we think it was fair if God expected the same kind of thing out of us? "Well, I'll forgive you, but you're on probation for a year. Well, I'll forgive you, but every time something happens, I'm going to bring it back up to your face every time and remind you that about that one time back when you did this to me. Well, I'll forgive you, but you owe me one now." How many different bad attitudes about forgiveness do we sometimes have? And now we might never express it that way. Certainly in a Bible class we'd never say, "Well, you know, I really think that when you forgive somebody, you ought to hang on to it and hold a grudge for the rest of your life." We'd never say that. We know better. But sometimes knowing better doesn't keep us from doing the wrong thing and acting the wrong way. Other times we say, well, we want to be just like God in some ways. We want to say, "Well, you know, if I have to be forgiven by God, I've got to come to Him and I've got to repent of my sin and I've got to confess it to Him and then He'll forgive me." And I understand that's certainly right, that we have to come to Him and repent of our sin. We have to confess our sin to Him. And so we say, "Well, somebody sinned against me and they haven't ever come and confessed that sin, so I don't have to forgive them." Now, before we get too deep into this, there's one thing I want us to understand. There is a massive difference between God's forgiveness and our forgiveness. I can forgive somebody of every sin they've ever committed against me, and that won't save them. That won't keep them out of hell. Every person that they've ever done something against could forgive them of everything they've ever done against all of them. And that won't save them. You see, none of us has the power to truly forgive their sin. All we have the power to do is not hold it against them on our part. We don't have the authority to forgive somebody of their sins that they've committed as far in God's eyes. God can only do that. You know, the Pharisees were right. When Jesus forgave somebody of their sins, they said, wait a minute, nobody but God can forgive sins. They were right. Nobody but God could forgive sins. Of course, Jesus is God, so He could forgive those sins. But what we've got to realize is our forgiveness of somebody and God's forgiveness of somebody are not the same thing. They're not equal. One of the saddest things that I think could ever happen, and I'm sure it has happened. I don't know, because I'm not the judge, and I don't know where people are going to spend eternity. I don't know for sure exactly how it's worked out. But I'm sure that in all the hundreds and hundreds and even 2,000 years since Jesus was here on this earth, I'm sure that it has happened that someone sinned against another, and the person who was hurt, the person who was sinned against, refused to forgive them for it. But that person who had committed the sin felt godly sorrow. They felt remorse. And they repented of that sin, and they confessed that sin to God, and they were forgiven of that sin, and they went to heaven. But the person that they had sinned against, that refused to give forgiveness, was lost. I can't think of anything sadder than for someone who lives basically a righteous life, doing what God wants them to do in most areas, to be kept out of heaven because their sins weren't forgiven, because they would refuse to forgive somebody else. I would never want that to be the case with me. I wouldn't ever want that to be the case with you. Can you imagine how sad that would be for someone else's sin against you to be the thing that caused you to be lost? Now, it's sad to be lost for any reason, but there's nothing sadder than being lost because somebody else sinned against you and you wouldn't forgive it. And one of the things we have to realize is when we withhold forgiveness, it does not hurt that other person. It hurts us. God did not tell us, and Jesus did not teach us, to forgive others so that they would feel better. He taught us to forgive others for our sake. It's for us. We're going to move through some things about this idea of forgiveness and look at what the Scriptures say about it. Because too many times we've built up a bunch of rules and regulations about forgiving somebody that God never gave us. I don't know where we got them, but sometimes we've gotten some ideas about forgiveness that are not what the Bible says. And I hope that we can clarify some of those things by looking at what the Bible does say. And we've started here in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, but let's move along. There are a number of Scriptures that present this same principle, that if you want to be forgiven by God, you have to forgive others. Let's look at a few of them. Forgive before praying, Mark chapter 11 and verses 25 through 26 tells us. Jesus says, and whenever you stand praying. Now I want us to think about what He says here. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Now think about that for just a minute. He doesn't say, if you have something against somebody and they come up to you and ask you, hey, would you forgive me for that? No, He doesn't say that. He said, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You see, Jesus here again, just like He there at the model prayer and the comments that He makes after it, He doesn't even say, hey, if that person comes to you and says they're sorry, then forgive them. He just says, if you've got something against somebody, forgive it. Don't hold that in. And the indication here is that if you're going to stand there and pray to God, you can't get through to Him if you're holding hatred, and unforgiveness, holding a grudge in your heart toward someone else. The same measure that will be used with you that you use on others. And we talked about that at the beginning. Hey, if I tell somebody, hey, yeah, I forgive you, but you're going to be on probation for a year. I'll forgive you, but I'll never trust you again. What if God treated us that way? He said, well, I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to trust you again. We'd be in sad shape, wouldn't we? Luke chapter 6, verses 36 through 38. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So we need to think about that. The standards that we hold other people to, well, they should have just known that they offended me and need to come talk to me about it. How should they know if you don't tell them that they've done something wrong? Many times, people do things not realizing that they have hurt someone else. They didn't do it intentionally. They weren't trying to hurt someone, but it did hurt them. And they may never realize it. And for us to hold a grudge against somebody for 20 or 30 or 50 years about something that they don't even remember doing it. They didn't even realize that it ever hurt us in the first place. Can you imagine? Or maybe you don't have to imagine. Maybe you've been holding a grudge against somebody for something like that. Let go of that. Don't continue to hold on to that. Forgive so that you can be forgiven. And then, of course, if someone does repent, forgive them. Luke 17, 3 and 4. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. You see, he puts the responsibility on the person that's offended, the person who has been sinned against. If they sin against you, you go tell them what they did. You go rebuke them for it. You go let them know, hey, you committed this sin against me. And then if he repents, forgive him. But I dare say from some of these other passages, Jesus has taught us, even if he doesn't repent, you still have to let go of it. Now, will he be forgiven by God? No. If he won't repent, God's not going to forgive him for that. Let God deal with that part. But let go of it. Don't continue to hold on to that. It's only going to hurt you and cause you harm in the long run. And he goes on to say, if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now what do we say? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's what we say. That's what people say. Is that what Jesus says here? Well, sin against me once and I'll forgive you, but sin against me twice? No, he says, can you imagine somebody sinning against you 7 times in the same day and then coming back to you each time saying, oh, I'm sorry about that. Will you forgive me? Maybe some of you married couples can understand. When you're living with somebody all the time, maybe you do sin against each other a little more often. No, but 7 times in a day? That's an awful lot. And notice, he says, if he comes and says, I repent. You know what we say? Well, we'll watch and see if you really meant it or not. It's not what Jesus said. If he comes and says, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. If he repents, says, I repent, you forgive him. Now we would say, if he's doing it 7 times in a day, he's not really repenting. But see, that's not our job to decide that. That's God's job. If we let God do his job and we do our job, you know what will happen? We'll have a lot happier life. When we try to do our jobs and try to do God's job, it's more than we can handle. How often should I forgive? 490 times. I'll keep a tally mark. I've got a book with everybody's name in it, and when they get up to 490, I don't have to forgive them anymore, because that's what Jesus said, isn't it? Matthew 18, 21 through 35, Peter says, well, shall I forgive my brother up to 7 times? He thought that was a lot. Remember, we saw in Luke, Jesus had said 7 times in a day. 7 times in a day, it wouldn't take but a couple of months to get up near that 490 that Jesus then says here in Matthew chapter 18. He says, no, I don't say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And we say, oh, 70 times 7, that's 490. Ha, ha, ha. Well, 490 then, that's the limit. After that, I don't have to forgive you anymore. We're completely missing the point that Jesus is making. Remember from Dwayne's class in Revelation that the number 7 is the perfect number. That's God's number of completeness. Anyway, think about that. What Jesus is really saying is, Peter said, well, shall we give him 7 times? That's the complete number. Oh, I'm really... And Jesus says, not 7 times, but you take that perfect number and you multiply it times another perfect number in another 7, but not just 7 more, but 70, which adds 7 times 10. The 10 is another complete number. In other words, he's saying, you just completely forgive. You keep forgiving. He's saying perfection times completeness. You keep forgiving. That's what he's really saying. And we get hung up sometimes. And I know we say, well, I would never really get hung up on 490. No, because most of us, 2 or 3 is about our limit. We'd never make it to 490. But no, we need to consider that. Now, as we've looked at these few scriptures here, and certainly these aren't all the scriptures in the Bible that have to do with forgiveness, but as we've looked at these scriptures assume that we do have people who sin against us. We all have. There is no one who lives such an isolated life that other people don't affect them. Other people don't do things to them that are ungodly and unrighteous. It happens to all of us. So these scriptures assume that that's going to happen. In fact, offenses must come, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7 tells us. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Now, and we're about out of time already, but let me just say this real quick. When he says offenses, he's not talking about, well, you offended me and hurt my feelings. That's not what he means when he says offenses. When he says offenses, and if you look it up in something other than the King James, you'll see some other translations of that idea. What he's really saying is, if somebody causes sin, if somebody sins against you, if somebody causes you to stumble, if somebody themselves stumbles, this is the idea behind this offenses. It's not just, well, you offended me, and so you're a bad person, and you need to apologize. Jesus offended a bunch of people during his time on earth, and he never sinned. We're not talking about just hurting somebody's feelings. We're talking about actually violating one of God's commandments for how we treat other people. That's an offense against them. And so we need to understand that. Now, is it nice to hurt other people's feelings? Well, no, not intentionally. Although, hey, you know, sometimes, I know I've been there where somebody needed to smack me upside the head with a few words and knock some sense into me. You ever been there? Where you really needed somebody to rebuke you or exhort you strongly to get you to straighten up, and it hurts your feelings when that happens. But it's to save your soul. Sometimes we need to be offended in that sense, but not offended in the sense of this sinful thing. All right, so, in fact, for there to be no offenses is impossible, Luke 17:1 tells us. These scriptures assume it is difficult for us to forgive others. And I've heard a number of times the statement, it's simple, but it's not easy. What Jesus tells us, forgive those who sin against you. That's simple, isn't it? Even little children can understand what that says. But that doesn't make it easy, does it? It's hard. It's not complicated. Forgive people if you want God to forgive you. Simple. Simple equation. But difficult for us to put into practice? You betcha. These scriptures assume that it is difficult for us to give others. And we have these attitudes. I don't get mad, I get even. We have these kind of things many times. But they did it to me first, so I can do it to them. It doesn't make sense. Well, I'll never talk to them again. You know, they hurt me once. I'll never let them get close enough to hurt me again. That kind of an attitude. Doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenge only puts you even with him. But forgiving places you above him. That's what we need to strive for, is to get on a higher plane, not sink to their level. The Corinthians had to be urged by Paul, in fact, even commanded by Paul, to forgive. It's kind of against our nature sometimes to forgive others. We want to hold that grudge. We want to keep punishing somebody for the bad thing they did. We want them to keep suffering because they hurt us. 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians there. The punishment which was inflicted by the majority is enough for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought to forgive and comfort him, or such a one may be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Paul told him, he said, you've got to forgive. Somebody has sinned, and even if in this case, they had received some punishment. They had received some church discipline because of it. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians 5, what that man was doing and why the church was doing the things that it did. But Paul had to write back to him and say, okay, all right, he's been disciplined enough. Now, if you keep at it, it's just going to swallow him up. It's going to eat him alive. He's showing, apparently, the remorse. He's repented. He's come back. Now, don't keep punishing him for what he did back then. Welcome him back in with open arms. Show him your love. Too many times we love the punish, 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 discipline, 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 and we forget about the bring him back and give him the love part. But that's important. Jeremiah didn't want God to forgive in Jeremiah 18:23. He said, Lord, you know their counsel against me to slay me. Don't forgive their sin. Don't blot out their sin from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet of God, but look at his attitude. Is that the attitude Christ would have wanted him to have in this circumstance? Not the attitude Christ taught us to have, is it? Lord, you know they're mean to me. Don't forgive them. No, what did Jesus do? What did Stephen do? As they were being killed, they said, forgive them. Don't hold this against them. That's a very different attitude than the one Jeremiah had in the Old Testament, isn't it? But we can probably more closely feel for Jeremiah than we can be like Jesus and Stephen were. These scriptures assume our own desire for forgiveness from God. Forgiveness brings happiness. Romans 4:7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. We are blessed. We are happy if that's the case. And aren't we? Is there anything that feels better than being forgiven? Not much that I can imagine that would feel better than to be forgiven of a sin. Forgiveness is part of the good news. Acts 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. We miss that sometimes, I'm afraid. Now, I don't want to give anybody the impression that I don't think that teaching them what the Bible teaches about doctrine is not that's important. We need to do that. But listen to what he said. Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. the idea and the thought that I could have my sins forgiven is going to appeal to a lot more people than, well, you know, you got to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week and you've got to not have instrumental music. Does that mean those things aren't important things for us to understand and teach? No, not at all. They are. But we get the cart before the horse sometimes. We're teaching somebody how to be a Christian before we're teaching them about how beautiful it is to become one. Deal with the forgiveness that God gave us in Jesus Christ. Convert people to Jesus and not to a church. Jesus first. He's the key. Without Him, there'd be no church. And without Him, there'd be no forgiveness of sins. And that's part of the good news. That's part of the gospel, is that Jesus brought forgiveness of sin. As we conclude, I want us to think about, have people hurt you or sinned against you? Maybe even recently, maybe this week, maybe yesterday, maybe even today, someone has sinned against you and hurt you in some way. Do you have difficulty forgiving these people for what they've done? Do you want forgiveness of your sins? Now, if you answered yes to that last one, then, and maybe if you answered yes to that first one, maybe it's not difficult for you. If not, well, teach me how you do it so easily, because it's not an easy thing. It doesn't come naturally to most of us to forgive. But if you want forgiveness of your sins, you must forgive others. Jesus teaches us that. If you're listening to these things this morning and you're considering sin in your life that you would like to have forgiven, have you forgiven others? Have you come to Jesus? Have you repented of those sins and confessed them to Him? Or maybe you've repented and confessed of your sins and yet you're unwilling to forgive others. Maybe you need His help and His strength to be able to do those difficult things of forgiving other people. If you're here and need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.